is the concept that God loves you. Other religions had all kinds of gods, but they were not gods that loved people. They were gods that hated one another and fought with one another and were jealous of one another. And so how can gods carrying on like that love people? But Jesus came saying that there's a God that loves you. Amen. He came teaching us that we could call God Father. Amen. People could call Him that. Human beings could call the Lord of glory Father. He went so far as to say we can call Him Daddy. Amen. That's why He said Abba. That's a child's word for father. It's like in our language and culture calling somebody daddy instead of father. It's much less formal. Amen. But we do have a God that loves us tonight. Anybody believe that here? I feel the love of Jesus in this house. Praise the Lord. I said I feel the love of Jesus in this house. Hallelujah. The love of Jesus to me is greater than anything else I've ever known. It reaches deeper than any sin stain. It reaches higher than heaven's throne. Amen. That's the love of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together tonight as we bring our preacher to the pulpit. I so much appreciate Brother Martin. Amen. He received the Holy Ghost and was renewed in the Holy Ghost here in this church. Amen. God called him to ministry, and he's doing a phenomenal job. Every week when I talk to him just about, somebody's getting the Holy Ghost in prison. And Sister Nancy told him not to hog it. Let folks get the Holy Ghost here too. Amen. Praise God. That's right. Amen. I like folks getting the Holy Ghost in prison, but I want some to get it here too. Amen. It's okay to baptize them over there. We've been baptizing them here too, haven't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God doing some good stuff? Praise the Lord. I say He's doing some good things around here. And we appreciate it. Praise God. So I've asked Brother Martin. He's the founder of a wonderful ministry called Theologos. Ministry is a prison ministry. God's using him greatly in that capacity. I don't know if he's going to talk about prison or not, but I just wanted to preach. Amen. And do it all. Praise God. Let's welcome Brother Martin. God bless you, sir. Amen. Take your liberty.
Amen. Why don't we just transfer that right on up to where it belongs? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I worship you right now in this place, Lord God. For there is none other like you. Hallelujah. 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 I worship you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, amen. What an honor and a privilege it is to stand up here behind this sacred desk. Amen. What an honor and a privilege it is to even just worship here. Amen. To be among such people called in Jesus' name, by Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me the privilege. I give you honor. Thank you. It's an awesome privilege to come up under the tutelage of a pastor, of our caliber of a pastor. He is absolutely a man of God and a true Christian. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I don't know if I'm going to be long-winded, short-winded. I'm not real sure. I'm just going to give what the Lord gave me. Y'all go ahead and be seated for just a second. I did want to share something with you. I don't get an opportunity to do this a whole lot. So y'all don't mind if I practice on you, right? Amen. I am part of a prison ministry. Myself, Brother Fry, my wife, Sister Hattie. We got together and we formed a ministry called Theologos Ministries. We go into the prisons. We go in and, Brother Fry goes into nursing homes. We're looking for opportunities to street preach and to do all kinds of things. We absolutely go by the same call that our organization here does, and that is to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. Amen. So We have several that are getting the Holy Ghost inside the prison walls. Several baptized in Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, at the unit that I'm currently at, we're the only ones that baptize in the whole unit. Amen. So if somebody gets baptized, they get baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we have officers. I've had officers come to me and say, I so much love it that you guys are here. They feel the difference. They feel when Jesus' name is preached. They feel it when people have the Holy Ghost there. Even though they may be incarcerated, they may be guilty of things that they've done in their past. Aren't we all? Haven't we all had infractions? As a matter of fact, I can empathize with them as well as sympathize. I've washed many a police cars to get out of my fine. So God was merciful. He actually brought me into the prison system as an officer and then opened up a ministry there at one of the units near where I work. So he allowed me the privilege of seeing at close hand, close up to what they go through every day. So if you could keep them in your prayers at all of these units. You know, we have over 20,000 people incarcerated less than 30 minutes from here. 20,000 souls. 20,000. Currently we have just our ministry and a few other preachers that come by every now and then that preach Jesus' name. We have every sort of other denomination. We have every other sort of preaching that comes through. Everything from people telling them that they got the Holy Ghost when they were born, that they were born with it, all the way to that the Holy Ghost isn't even necessary. So you can see the battle that we have inside those lines. But I'm here to tell you that the truth rings free. It rings clear inside them. There is something about the truth that when you hear it, you know it. Amen. And so it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference for these men. So keep them in your prayers. We'll try to plan some more trips to go out. We have in the past taken people to come worship with us, and it's been wonderful. We plan to do some more of those, and I will keep you posted. We also got a new person in our ministry. I forgot to mention her. I apologize. We're proud to have her, but Sister Nancy is our correspondence person. So, amen. So, amen. What a blessing she is. So, God is working. That there are some things I may say tonight. I preach to prisoners. I preach inside the prison walls. We have a different language. It's almost like a different language. So under the anointing, I might say some things that you might not catch, like being thrown off. That just means crazy. So if I use some slang, understand that I'm not cussing up here. I promise you. But I do get, I don't know, my heart goes out to them, and I've actually become like one of them, I guess. God gives us that ability sometimes to transform. I won't beleaguer it anymore. I won't go any further. But if you would stand. So we're going to get your exercise going. And turn to the book of Acts. The 16th chapter in the 35th verse. That I'm going to take you to a prison story. I personally love this story. This is absolutely my favorite story in the Bible, because it has to do with a guard receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. Where the prisoner becomes the minister. Amen. You see, that's my goal in life. But we're not going to talk about the normal, what you get out of this story. We're going to look at a different aspect of it, hopefully, tonight. So if we would, at Acts chapter 16, verse 35. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officer, saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Amen. Y'all say this with me. They encouraged them. Amen. Brother, if you would. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if there's one thing that I know about prison, is that when they open the doors, people tend to go out. That's just the tendency. As a matter of fact, they keep them locked. And they keep somebody in the way of the door. As a matter of fact, you can't just go through a door. My first time I walked into prison, I couldn't believe how many doors you have to go through. Just to get into one of the prisons that I enter in every day, you have to go through two gates, then a series of two locked doors just to get into where you can get to anybody. You have to go through a metal detector, a whole litany of officers who look you up and down and take everything you got and look through it and give it back to you. And then you might can actually make it into the prison. And then you go through two more sets of locked doors. You can't just walk out of a prison. So if they were to throw all those doors open and say, get out, I know it wouldn't be a problem finding volunteers. Amen. There's an old saying about prison, and that's this. It's just one big count. You see, the prisoners count the hours, the guards count the prisoners, and the wardens count the counts. You see, everybody's counting something. But at the lowest common denominator, the count is this: the hours, the minutes, the seconds. I've never met anyone incarcerated who couldn't tell you exactly how many days they had on their sentence. Not years, but days. They could tell you how many more days until they see parole. How many more days it'll be if parole grants them an FI, which means that they're going home in a certain amount of time. They have it all mapped out. They have it all planned. This is how much longer I have to do. But this story is so funny because, you see, they try to open the doors. As a matter of fact, God had already shook the doors open. Everybody should know this story. This is the story of when Paul and Silas were praying at midnight. And then they started singing and they started worshiping. And all of a sudden, the power of God shook the place. And all the stocks and the chains were loosed and the doors popped open. And there was the chief of the guards, he rushes in and he pulls out his sword and he's going to kill himself because he just knows that someone has left. You see, this was no longer a secure environment. This was no longer a prison, for the doors had been opened. This was a place of freedom. Hallelujah. But no one had left. You see, a freedom had come that was better than the freedom on the outside. You see, God had moved in the place. God had actually shook the place. He had removed the bonds and opened the doors. But He had also shook some hearts. You see, when that man realized that no one had left, he asked him, "What should I do? How can I be saved?" And they told him, I know that they must have taught it right because immediately he had to be baptized. They taught him, no doubt, just like they did in Acts 2 and 38. Repent, be baptized, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it says? Receive the Holy Ghost. It says that him and his house were saved. He thought to bring them out of the prison. He took them out of the prison and he brought them to his house. No longer behind the bars, no longer in the fetters, no longer chained to each other. They had the freedom of his home. But they didn't even leave then. You see, they had a freedom that was above the freedom that he could offer them. So when the chief magistrate said, oh, wait a minute, hold on, let's let them go. You see, it was no quiet thing. When an earthquake opens up a jail cell, it's no quiet thing. You see, there's a lot of people get woken up when that happens. There's several guards that get woken up. The guard has to be increased. The warden is woke up. They break out the dogs. They put out the guards. But no one escaped. You see, they had to then figure out why no one escaped. No doubt that these chief magistrates tossed and turned all night. No doubt that they had to deal with what they had done all night. These people were rescued by God. These people that we laid rods to, these people that we had torn the clothes off of, these people that we had persecuted were worshiping and God heard. This is why they wanted to throw them out first thing in the morning. At first light, they kicked the doors open and said, you boys, get out. But you see, there was something in Paul he just could not leave. He was determined to continue. If I had to title my sermon anything, it would be this: be determined to continue. You see, there was no victory in leaving at first light. There was no victory in scurrying off when the sun came up. You see, scurrying off when the sun comes up is what you do after a night of sin. That's what you do when you don't want someone to see you. Many times I have scurried off before the sun came up so that no one would find me in my sin, so that no one would find me where I was. I tried to get back to where I should have been, but you see, Paul and Silas had no guilt. You see, they had done nothing wrong. They were placed in a prison and persecuted simply because they had preached Jesus' name. They were wrongfully in prison. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They had been beaten and put in jail. They never cried out one time that they were Roman citizens. You see, there was a cry that you could cry out if you were a Roman citizen. If they tried to beat you and you were a Roman citizen, all you had to say is Civis Romanus sum. That means I am a citizen of Rome. But they never cried out. They never tried to get out of being persecuted. You see, they realized that they were being persecuted in the name of Jesus, and they had no problem with that. You see, they knew that persecutions would come, that trials would come, simply because they were a people of the name of Jesus. They knew that they were going to have to suffer some things. They weren't considering who they were. They knew that they had a citizenship greater than that of Rome. They knew that they were about to be persecuted in Jesus' name. They knew that victory would come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There was a victory. You see, when Jesus answered, when the Holy Ghost answered, when God shook that prison, there was a victory. But it was not the final victory. Paul knew that there was a victory to come. Paul knew that there was more victory to come. That it wasn't just a personal victory. That there had to be something that was going to come more of it. That there was a victory that would be for everybody that would come in. And secreting off, running off with the daylight, was not going to be that victory. As a matter of fact, the only time that he cried that he was a Roman was when they tried to let him go. He said, no. If you're going to persecute me, you're going to do it right. We're gonna get in this thing. We're in this thing to win it. You see, he had a will to continue. He wanted to see it through. He wanted to see that all of it was done. He wanted to see that the full will of God came to fruition in that place. He required his captors to cry. You see, there was an exchange of guilt. They had no guilt. They were beaten and thrown in prison. And when they found out that they were Romans, they tried to let them go. You see, the shoe was on the other foot, because Roman law required them to cry peccavi, Pekave meant that I had done wrong. I have wronged another Roman. I have taken a Roman and went against the law with them. You see, no matter what your station was, if you had wronged a Roman citizen, then you were at the mercy of that Roman citizen. You were at the mercy of the law of Rome. And all of a sudden, the chief justice knew that he was at the mercy of the prisoner. He was at the mercy of the very one that they had laid rods to. No doubt he had tossed and turned knowing that the same could be done to him. That the same scourging and the same whipping could be done to him. You see, he was now under the judgment. Isn't it so true that oftentimes when we go against God, we find that we're the ones in judgment? He found himself in the peculiar predicament of coming under the same judgment and the same law that he was the procurer of. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But let me tell you something. Paul was determined to continue. He continued in his ministry. Because once they came and said, you can go free. We are going to call and cry, Pekave. We're going to say you're standing in the right. We're going to let you go openly. We're going to come down ourselves and let you go. You see, the victory had been won. The final victory had been won. Not just the freedom of a man. Not just the freedom of two men. Not just the freedom and the salvation of a jailer. But you see, God had worked a mighty work in that city. Because now the Christians could open up and freely worship. You see, they were not fearful of persecution near as much, because the chief justice had learned of mercy. The chief justice had learned of grace. You see, there was a final victory to be had. Sometimes when we go through trials, sometimes when we go through the tribulations, we want to get out when we have the getting out. We want to get out when it gets uncomfortable. If someone gives us the out, we try to take it. But I'm telling you, we need to stand fast. We need to stand for what this is. We need to look past our own understanding. We need to stand. We need to continue. We need to be determined to continue. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul had a ministry of continuing. This was not the first time that he had continued. You see, this was just a continuation of the continuation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you'll turn in Acts chapter 14 and verse 19, you'll find that Paul was stoned. And I don't mean like we used to get stoned. They threw real big rocks at him. It says, then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and he went back into the city. He didn't say, thank y'all for getting me up out of these rocks. Boys, I'm going to tell you what, it's a rough crowd in there. Let's go somewhere else. He turned around and he went right back into the city. I bet he went back in there just to skip and saying, my Lord had delivered me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was dead laying there. I'm going to tell you, I don't think that he was just as he was dead. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus had already proved he could raise people. I think when they drug him out, he was probably graveyard dead. Because these people were professionals at this. This was their modus operandi. If they didn't like you, they would chunk a big rock on you. Well, I'm telling you, my God's bigger than a big old rock. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As a matter of fact, he's the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He knows a few things about a rock. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you go down to verse 22, you'll find just two verses later, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He went through a stoning, near death or probably dead. And the next thing you know, he's turning around and saying, let's keep going. Don't give up. I'm telling you, if they stone you, God will bring you out. Whatever they do to you, God will bring you out. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some tribulations, but I'm telling you, God will bring you out. We have a God who's listening. We have a God who's watching, and we have a God who's doing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be determined to continue. When you don't see the way out, be determined to continue. When they start throwing rocks, be determined to continue. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you go to Romans 11 and 22, you'll find we're the same man. It says if you continue in God's goodness. Hallelujah. He's preaching continue again. Continue. Are you starting to get an idea he's about continuing? He's about going on. He's not playing with this. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. You see, he understood that continuing is the only way to go. Continuing is the only path that we have. Oh, if we could just continue. Sometimes when all we can do is stand, that's continuing. When all we can do is get up, that's continuing. Sometimes you may get knocked back, but take a step forward. If you can't take a step forward, just stand. If you can't stand, kneel. And I'm telling you, that's where the real power is. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes kneeling on your knees is where the real power kicks in. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you'll go to Colossians 1 and 19 through 27. You'll find that we are reconciled through Christ. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you. Everybody saying me. Who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith. Not just continue in the faith, but he goes on to tell you that there's a few things you need to grab a hold of. You need to be grounded. You need to be steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You see, this man knows a few things about continuing. He knows a few things about sticking it out. He wasn't a very weak man. He was the type of man who was going to see it through. But he wasn't just going to see the first victory through. Sometimes we have to push through to the second victory. Sometimes there's a third victory. In that one story, we find that there's a victory where their shackles are broken, that they're personally freed. There's a second victory in the jailer, where him and his whole family were freed. They were freed and freed indeed. They found that there was a freedom that went beyond just mere man's mortal freedom. But there's the freedom in the Holy Ghost. There's the freedom in everlasting life. I'm here to tell you that that man's life was changed. That his wife's life was changed. That his children's life was changed. Because it said his whole house was filled. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some lives were saved, no doubt. Some lives were changed. Some things were undone in that household. There were no doubt some curses over that household from generational sin. There were some things that had been done. Maybe there were some gods that shouldn't be in that house. But they were. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But the second miracle was that house was saved. And the third miracle was an entire area that was under persecution felt a little lift in the persecution. Oh, that the freedom of preaching the gospel could reach more people. Just because some people stuck it out. and said, this isn't about me anymore. This isn't about just me. This isn't about me sitting here with my back whipped and blood flowing down. This isn't about me being uncomfortable anymore. But you see, there's a family at home that has to be freed. I've got some loved ones who need the Holy Ghost. There's some curses on my house that need to be lifted. There are some things that have been worshipped in my midst that we need to do away with. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There are some strongholds that need to come down. There are some things in this city that need to go away. There are some principalities that are in this town that need to be... Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. If you want to see revival in your home, if you want to see revival in this town, if you want to see revival in your family, it's going to be through continuance. It's going to be through being steadfast. It's going to be grabbing a hold of something and not giving up. It's going to be having the foresight and the long sight to see that all we have to do is continue. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Colossians 4 and 2. Hallelujah. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're going to be grounded in this, if you're going to be rooted in this, it's going to require some prayer. It's going to require a lot of prayer, as a matter of fact. That's the only way that we can get a hold of this. We're going to have to start claiming some things. We're going to have to start going to God in prayer, putting a little fasting behind it, pushing some trays away, pushing a plate back every now and then. Oh, hallelujah. It's through giving a little back. Oh, through prayer and fasting that we're going to see this happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This continue attitude is what it made it possible for the ministry to this jailer and his family. This continue attitude is what lifted the persecution on this town. And this continue attitude is absolutely vital for you to see your family saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They may be in this place tonight, but it's through continuing that they'll continue to come to this place. I want to tell you that I stand before you a continuance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My poor mother continued on through all kinds of things. I'm sorry for the personal reference, but I'm just telling you that it's all possible. Oh, the days that she drugged me down the pews just to take me outside and wear me out so I would come back in here and listen to the Word of God. Oh, that she continued time after time after time. I'm not saying they need beating. I'm just saying I did. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, the times that she would cry sitting out in the car. I remember it. As a matter of fact, one of the last times I ever acted out is when she just broke down in the car. And she said, how many times? How many times? And I knew right then and there, she wasn't talking to me anymore. She was talking to God. She was saying, I'm going to stick this through, God. But how many times? Oh, if you could just give me an idea, I'm going to stick it out. But if you could just give me a little promise on the end of this. If you could just give me a light at the end of the tunnel, I want to see this child saved. I want to see that this child, oh, hallelujah, is filled with the Holy Ghost. He's just young now, but he's going to be something someday if you'll just give me the strength. If you'll just allow me to continue on, hallelujah, hallelujah. That same woman about 4 years ago I was praying about. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was praying in my car and the Holy Ghost came over me to the point I had to pull over. I was no longer safe to drive. I couldn't see anymore. The road just vanished. And luckily for me, I was on a back road so I could just pull over in the weeds. And the Holy Ghost came in and I started to speak in tongues. I started to spend some time with God. And He told me this. He said, your mother is going to be okay. because she prayed some things a long time ago, and I'm going to answer these things. I'm going to take her memory, and I'm going to afflict her, and I'm going to cast her down. I'm going to use her in her misery to save this very family that she cried out so much for. You see, she was willing to pray that prayer. No doubt she prayed, whatever you have to do, God, if you have to afflict me, if you have to kill me. Oh, I want my children to be saved. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I picked up my phone and I dialed my mother, tears streaming down my face, and I told her these words. I said, Mama, God said to tell you that it's all going to be okay. Oh, God told me to tell you that this is going to be a victory in the end if you'll just see it through. And we had a little time of prayer on the phone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, every time that a trial comes up concerning her and my family, I have to do a little shout. I have to do a little victory dance because I know, woo, hallelujah, that there's some victory. So, Mama, if you've been praying, oh, understand that you might not see it and you might be afflicted over it, but God's going to use it to save your children if you just have the foresight to see it through. Fathers, if you'll just pray that prayer, if you'll, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you under the Holy Ghost that I'm preaching to somebody tonight. I'm preaching to a people here tonight who need to see it through. We have got to be determined to see it through. We have got to set our face like a flint. We have got to lock on to this and absolutely never, ever, ever, ever give up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because those very same scriptures that I read to tell you about not giving up, several of them also tell you if you do, there's a big if. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You got to understand that that if ain't even, oh, hallelujah. Oh, it's not an option. You see, if this were just joining a club, it wouldn't be that important. If this was just about me or you personally, it wouldn't be that important. I wouldn't be up here talking to you about it. But I'm telling you that it comes to a personal level of this. And that is literally this. You must continue to see heaven. You must continue to see this through. If you're to see those heavens part and to hear that trumpet and be caught away, we must continue through. And if you want to see your children in that, if you want to see your family in that, you must continue through. It's not an option. You know, when Jesus had many, many, many of the multitude leave him, he turned around and said, "Will you leave all?" Also. Oh, and the words rang so true. Oh, hallelujah. Peter literally said, "Where are we going to go? Who are we going to go to? You alone have the words of life." Hallelujah. You're the only option that we have. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The adversary would want you to think that you have options tonight. He would like to do the Monty Hall with you tonight. He would like to show you several different doors and say, behind door number one is this, and behind door number two is this, and you can trade that salvation for any of this at any time. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't feel alone. You're not the only one that he's done it to. For he absolutely went to Jesus and did this very same thing. He came to him with an if. Let me tell you what, an if is a dangerous thing. An if is not a word to someone that's going to continue. You see, if is not an option. If can't happen to a continuing person. He came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Christ." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe I've been in prison a little too many times, but I wish Jesus would have just popped him right in the mouth. Right there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whew. He did that spiritually, so I feel better. Amen, hallelujah. But I'd have sure loved to have seen it. Pow. Get that if out your mouth, boy. There ain't no ifs around here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He was determined to continue. You see, there is no if in this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus told him that man cannot live by bread alone. He was telling him, you can offer me anything you want to, and it's not going to trump what I've got. And it's not going to trump everlasting life. It's not going to trump salvation. But I'm here to tell you that I live a changed life. Salvation is wonderful. I love it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm grateful for it every day. I look back on the man that I used to be, and I don't even know him anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I look at all the chemicals I used to put in my body, and I cannot imagine it anymore. I look at things that I used to do, the things that I used to say, the ideologies that I used to have, and I can't even imagine it anymore. This life is so much better. This life is so much sweeter. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, that old life, things were steady being taken away from me. Oh, I was doing the Monty Hall all right, but I was trading, and every time I traded down. I traded down every time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, the devil came to me many times, and he said, I got a couple of doors over here, and if you want to see what's behind them, all you got to do is lay down what you got. All you got to do is lay down that determination for your family. And I'm going to show you what I got behind this door. And I laid down that, only to find that it was gone when I came back. When you lay it down, you're not going to pick it back up. There are some scars. If you get into that if, understand there's going to be some scars. Young person, I'm talking to you tonight. There's going to be some scars. If you listen to if, there's going to be some scars. There's going to be some hurt. You're going to look back and there's going to be some lost relationships. There's going to be some things that you can't take back. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, listen to me in this place. Right now, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, there is no if. There is no if. There is no if. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I've got some good news tonight. If you've ever listened to the if, oh, child of God, you can still get some continue in you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, all you have to do is sit on that path. Oh, we have an altar down here that you can set it all right. That you can make a couple of trades back. You can trade that selfishness. You can trade that want for something else, for something that's going to get you through. You can trade it for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And just like in that jail, those chains will come off. It won't undo your past, but it'll break the shackles from it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And if you see this thing through long enough, oh, the blessings, they start to come. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I just feel in this place that we should seek out right now. Oh, that we should start to seek after the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That we should start making a determination right now. Hallelujah, that we're going to continue in this place. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I told you I wouldn't be long, and I haven't. Oh, but this message, oh, it hasn't been lengthy, but there's a lot of weight to it. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's time that we come together and say we're not going to have it anymore. Oh, it's time that we start claiming the victory and continue on in this place. It's time that we go back and we revisit the cross and we say, God, I'm going to continue. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've never had the Holy Ghost before, I'm telling you, it's here in this place. If you've never had the opportunity to see what continuing in Christ is, let me tell you, all you have to do is start the journey. To continue in the journey, all you have to do is take the next step. The first step is here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. That jailer asked the most important question of all. When he jumped down there, he said, what must I do to be saved? No doubt they told him this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is beckoning in this place. The Holy Ghost is calling to some people. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, to the old saint. The Holy Ghost is calling and saying, just continue a little longer. Oh, come down and visit with me just a little longer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's reconsecrate some things. Hallelujah, I'm going to open these altars up to anybody who wants to come. Oh, if you're an old saint, it's time that we reconsecrate. If you're a new saint, let me tell you something. It's just about, oh, continuing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. And for those who the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart right now, oh, hallelujah. Now is the time to make the decision. Tonight is the night to go the rest of your life in the way that you should go. Tonight is the night to start receive the blessing. Oh, that we could start out the rest of our lives tonight going the right way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is beckoning to you right now in this place that there's a way that's right. That there's a way that you can follow. Oh, and you won't be lost anymore. The hurt won't be there anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The persecution isn't there anymore. That feeling in the morning, it's not there anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus.
Determined to hold out to the end. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. For I know I have salvation and I feel it in my soul. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. For I know I have salvation and I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. For I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. For I